morning. Get to Exodus chapter 8 is where we're at. Exodus chapter 8. As we come now to the next set of plagues in the land of Egypt. We've looked through the first three, and remember the first three are about revealing God, revealing himself specifically to Pharaoh. So God reveals. Pharaoh would know the Lord, and he's come to know the Lord, and we're going to see a little bit of that response even today in this fourth plague. So as we come to just a quick reminder of those things that he revealed himself. Remember from the plague number one, which was the Nile being turned to blood, God is no trick. He's not a lie. He is the God over life, actually. He controls life. From the plague of the frogs, all right, God is present. Remember, the frogs are everywhere. God's everywhere, even far greater than the frogs would be. All right, God is everywhere. God is present. But then, very interesting, how God uses his servant by his prayer, rids the land of frogs. Prayer is very powerful. Very powerful tool that God has given us in the work of the ministry to use for the Lord. And then the third plague was the plague of the lice, the biting bugs, all right? God is preeminent. He is the God over both land and sea. I remember the magicians at that point. And this is right near the end of the section where verses 18 and 19 of chapter 8, where they said, that's the finger of God. There was no other explanation but that God was ruling over all that was happening in the world. So now we come to plague number 4, which starts in verse number 20. And we have these next sets of the plagues, 4, 5, and 6. If you remember from our introduction a few weeks back, this is where God begins to demonstrate not only who he is, but that he is governor. He governs over the affairs of men. God providentially oversees and guides in this world. And what a blessing that is to us as believers, right? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad, for instance, that the elections didn't catch him by surprise? That actually has a far deeper plan than any politician could ever figure out. And this is the part I like. There are politicians that think that they can control the world. That's a joke. Now, aren't you glad? Because sometimes it seems like everyone thinks that they do. And they feel like they can. And I'm glad that God, in his goodness, is still in charge. Now, I realize that Satan is the prince and power of the air. He has much influence and much action, and yet he can only go so far. We've got a great God who's providentially over all of this, and he's working out his will to its perfect end. That's why we know one of the prophecy is for sure. Right? It's going to happen. I don't care how hard the world tries, how hard Satan tries, one day Satan will be forever imprisoned. Aren't you glad? And his followers too. So anyways, God governs in the affairs of man. And plagues number 4, 5, and 6 seem to really point that out as we look through this. All right, so verse number 20. And this is just like plague number 1 and the one we'll see plague number 7. We're back at the Nile. So the first of each of the three series, they start back in the Nile. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water. And remember, what was he probably going to do? Take a bath, all right? That's who he's coming to take a bath. Now this gets, again, I see all the humor in it, forgive me. But when you deal with flies and he just got done with a bath and then he's covered with flies, it's just really funny to me. It's like, way to ruin a good bath. Anyways, okay. So even in the midst of wrath, there's humor, I think, at times. So he cometh and he says, and say unto him, all right, I'm the end of verse 20, say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Now here again, a couple of the key challenges facts, all right. He says, tell Pharaoh, the Lord says, all right, and he had introduced, so now Pharaoh already knows who this Jehovah God, the Lord, is, all right. And he says, let my people go that they may serve me, not serve you, Pharaoh. All right? So again, this very powerful challenge with this, we're asking to be released from our enslavement. Now we come to a pretty strong warning from God, verse 21. Else, if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies. And it's one word in the Hebrew. It's swarming insects. I think there's up to like 10 different varieties of flies in Egypt. I don't know. I think the Midwest beats them. Anyways, all right. Flying insects, potentially, again, it could refer to biting insects, though we obviously saw that for sure with the lice, all right, the previous plague. But there's all of them. Now, what's the significance of this one? All right, we'll keep on reading. I will send swarms of flies upon thee, Pharaoh. So this is a warning directly to Pharaoh, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are, all right? So wherever the Egyptians are, especially it seems, there seems to be the emphasis. Notice houses are mentioned a couple times, the ground. So it seems to be specifically wherever they live, all right? So, you know, they had fields out in the fields. It may be that the swarms of flies weren't as thick out there, but where they dwelt, the flies are like everywhere. They're swarming everywhere, even on the ground. It was like, you know, young people, there was a day when it was the coolest thing back, we're talking the 50s and 60s, when we would have wall-to-wall carpet. Some of you remember that. Remember when that started coming? Every house had wood floors, and then it was the cool thing. I know that it's not cool anymore. Now it's cool to have wood floors again and throw rugs everywhere. Okay, but there was a day, all right, where it was cool to get, and it was like you were keeping up with the Joneses if you got wall-to-wall carpet. All right, now, you know where I'm going, right? Could you imagine, and this is not an exaggeration, we're talking wall-to-wall and up the wall, flies. And on your face and on your nose, you couldn't get away from them. Wall to wall. Now, we come to, so, this, by the way, and this is really point number one. Remember, we're learning some things about God and about how he governs. So, one, God's word is sure. Pharaoh should already know that. We've been through three plagues, and everyone got completely done as God said. This is not an idle threat of an ogre god who is just being overbearing, but he really won't fulfill or accomplish. This is going to literally happen, and we'll see that it does. All right, they are wall-to-wall in flies. God's word is sure. Now, I want you to run ahead because we see this principle again over in verse 31. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses and removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. There remained not one. So God in his word, by his word, said you're going to have wall-to-wall flies. And then it comes to a point where God, by his word, says you're going to have no flies. And they were, what does it say? There remained not one. Now here's the fun part. In my mind again, right? A little bit of fun. Remember with the frogs, we knew where they went. They just died. And they heaped them up, right? And the place stank. It was a reminder of God's wrath on them. Here, the flies will be not a single one left. Where'd they go? I don't know. But God said they're gone. And they were. It's like you get up in the morning and we don't see them gathering. They're just gone. They're out of there. All right, where did God take? It doesn't matter. What matters is that God said they're gone and they are. Believer, God's word is sure. What a challenge to live by faith. We should have had an invitation after the scripture reading this morning, all right? But do you believe God's word? God's promise to be with you always. No, he's not here right now. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. God said that he is good to you, to his children, always. Well, you should see my life. Okay, let's look at your life. Is God good? The answer will always be yes, because he promised so. His word is true. Often we interpret problems of our life and say that God's word isn't true. It's a great way to cover up our sin, to not feel guilty about something we've done wrong and reaping the fruit of that sin. it's a great way to blame somebody that's not me, because maybe I've just made a foolish mistake. Now I'm living the consequences of that. It's a great way to excuse what I can't explain in this world. This isn't fair, God. You're not good. And we have conscience by blaspheming God. Shame on us. If God is good, that means that even in my trouble, I should be looking for his goodness. Like his, that can see from eternity past to eternity. I know. But in his goodness to his children, he's given us enough in his word to help us explain a lot of things in life if we're willing to accept it. God's word is sure. Now, for Pharaoh, let's step back, all right? So we're back over here in verse 21, all right? For Pharaoh, if God's word is sure, what's that mean? He's going to face another plague. Now, does he have any options? He does. He can just let the people go to serve the Lord. And, of course, we know he doesn't. He's quite human. Believer, do you live your life like Pharaoh before God? Just going your own way? You have options to obey, to follow, to enjoy his blessings. But you say, no, I want to do it my way. And you face God's wrath. If you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, his word is sure. Those who die without Christ will spend an eternity in a place called hell, in God's wrath forever, because you've rejected an eternal, omnipotent God and his means of salvation. That's a stern warning. Now, don't reject like Pharaoh. Come to Christ. Receive him. The option is really easy. Pharaoh just had to say, you're out of here. You're free to go. And there would not have been wall-to-wall flies. But no, he's going to be stubborn still. He's going to think that he can be in charge. He can control Egypt. No, wait, God is sovereign. God's in control. God's providential. He's got things under control. When God says the flies come, guess what happens? They come. When God says the flies are out of here, guess what happens? They're out of here. Right? God's really, really, really in control. All right, now, verse 22. Notice what God does for his children. We've already pointed out this truth, but don't miss this. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there. To the end. Big, like neon signs here, right? What are the plagues about? They're revealing God to us. Well, here's plague number 4, 5, and 6. If you don't catch anything, catch this right here, because God tells us right in his word why he had these plagues. To the end, that thou, Pharaoh, mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. The word midst, in the center of. God is the center of history. He's directing it. Now, so, point number two. What do we know about God? Point number one, God's word is sure. Point number two, God governs in the affairs of men. He was the one that started it. He's the one that's sustaining it. He's the one that will end it when he says so. Folks, there is a reality that why can we so easily laugh about, and we do this tenderly because there are people that believe the lie and we want their soul to be redeemed, but why can we laugh at all of the craziness about climate change stuff? Well, because God's in charge. They're not. They somehow think that we can change God's universe. Now, we can have effect because we're supposed to care for it, right? So we look at environmental issues from a whole different lens than they do. They think if they don't sustain this earth, they're going to die. Let's wake up to reality. Pal, you're dying whether you sustain the earth or not. And when this world is done, it's done. God said so. Now, I'm glad that I have a way of escape, aren't you? So why don't we get on God's program, accept Christ as your Savior, and when God destroys this earth and makes a new heaven and earth, why don't you plan on being there? All right? Do you see how our perspective from God's Word affects how I live even today? God's promised after the flood. We saw it in Genesis. Seed time and harvest. Heat and winter. That will continue until God says it's done. Even when we are foolish and wasteful and corrupting, no, this world is well sustained by not us. We didn't put it here, and we can't take it away. It's sustained by God. Now, God is the Lord in the midst of the earth, verse 22. What an amazing testimony about God this is. And so then it goes on and explains, verse 23, and I will put a division between my people and thy people, between God's people and Pharaoh's people. Tomorrow shall be this sign. So this word division, it's a rich word in the Hebrew. It's the same. We could translate it redemption. God will put a redemption between his people and Pharaoh's people. As God governs in the affairs of man, he has promised that he will care for his children. He will redeem his people in a unique way. So that even not only that, I should put it this way, even though their soul is secure in the work of Jesus Christ, so too their life in this world is secure. God will not allow anything to happen to his children outside of his sovereign control and will. Now, what a wonderful promise, right? Why is it, you say, well, Pastor, there are Christians that have died before their time. No, it was the exact right time with the Lord. And why could a martyr face the martyr's sword or the fire or the water, the drowning, the torture? How could they face that? Because God was with them. The grace of God was there. Know that God provides redemption for his people. It's a part of his governing here. I'm reminded of what Nebuchadnezzar said. At the end of his 7 years, remember, he became an animal. God promised it by his word. You don't humble yourself. You glorify yourself. I will make you an animal for 7 years. It appears as though Daniel kept the kingdom together for 7 years while Nebuchadnezzar was crazy. Ate grass like an ox. Grew his hair, became like feathers. His nails became like claws. Went on all fours. This is not a pretty picture. It's not a cartoon. It's gross and despicable. And then God raises him up when he humbles his heart and says, I know who's king. And Nebuchadnezzar says, I'm not. God is the king of the universe. And so in verse 35 of chapter 4 of Daniel, he says this, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the king of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment. He discerns. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Now that's putting it pretty straightforward, isn't he? Is that not what's happening to Pharaoh here? He's walking in pride. No, this is my kingdom. No, I'm not going to let you go. You're my servants. Well, okay, let me show you how. And God abases him. Remember, we had already seen from chapter 3 and verse 8, I am come down, God said, to deliver his people out of the hand of the Egyptians. He's in the process of doing it right here. Chapter 6, verse 6, I will redeem you, God said, with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. This is one of the great judgments. God's keeping his word. He's governing in the affairs of man. Believer, trust your God. Rejoice in your redemption. Know that he will care for you every step of the way. And so verse 24, and the Lord did so. That's almost anticlimactic at this point. Well, of course. That's like, well, duh. And the Lord did so. And there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses and into all the land of Egypt. And the land was corrupted, was ruined by reason of the swarm of flies. Now, what's the ruin here? It doesn't appear that he destroyed the crops and so forth. That's to come. All right, that's some of the other plagues that are coming. Well, let me put it this way. How would you like to live in your house 24/7 with a whole swarm of flies? You know, you go to cook your meat for the day, and there are the swarm of flies enjoying the meat with you. You go to take a bite, and the fly flies in too. I don't know. Have you ever eaten a fly before? Most of us farmers have, a time or two. It's not necessarily the most pleasant thought. You're trying to spit it out as quick as it goes in, kind of thing. You know, it just. Anyways, all right. This is not. What was ruined? What we call their quality of life, right? Everything about it. You know, the ladies, you know how you like to keep your home nice and neat and clean? You sweep the floor every day? Could you imagine? You can't walk without squishing flies. What does that do to your nice floor? Their life was ruined. Oh, they could still live, but it was gross as gross could be. An amazing picture of God's wrath. Now, so what did it do? Well, it accomplished something, and Pharaoh says, all right, this is not working out real well. I like my house to be cleaner than this. I like my food to be uncorrupted. So I wonder. Now here, we're going to watch Pharaoh here do what politicians are great at. And what is that? Well, and Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron, I'm in verse 25, and said, go ye sacrifice to your God in the land. So he's offering, all right, hey, okay, how about this? Can we do a plan B, kind of, a little bit of a compromise? How about I give you a Jewish holiday, but you just stay in Egypt? Now, of course, for Pharaoh, this works out pretty well. If they say yes, he's still got a whole nation of slaves. All right? He's asking for compromise. Now, wait a second. Could you imagine Moses? Try to put yourself in a second in Moses' shoes. It's like, oh, wait a second. He's offering that we can worship God. Should I take the bait, in a sense? Is this, can I work this out? What if Moses had compromised with Pharaoh? Well, we know this. God's name would have been marred. The holiness and the power, the sovereignty of God would have looked very human at that point. Very, very weak. God's name would have been marred had Moses compromised with Pharaoh. Oh, what would have happened to the children of Israel? No redemption. No deliverance. What would have happened to their children? Dad, didn't you say that God was going to deliver us out of Egypt? What's up, Dad? Why am I still a slave? The second, third generation lost to the worship of God. All as a simple result of Pharaoh or Moses thinking, you know, maybe this isn't such a bad idea. Maybe I can compromise. Maybe we can get this worked out with the world. Believers, this is an important truth. Christianity is not a political game with the world. Christianity is a relationship with the omnipotent, preeminent, righteous Lord of the universe. That's who we have a relationship with. So point number three today, and this is really important. Compromise with the world is out of order for the Christian. It's ruinous to the believer and to those that they influence, and it is dishonoring to our Redeemer and God. I'm grateful that Moses didn't compromise. We wouldn't have the beautiful, beautiful, amazing, powerful picture of redemption, right? The Exodus would have been nothing. Let me say that point again, because this is the point that I think we need to hear today in this plague. Compromise with the world is out of order. It is ruinous to the believer and to those whom they influence, those that follow them. And it is dishonoring to our great Redeemer in God. So, you say, Pastor, is that really what was going on? Yes. Look at verse 26. I want you to see that this is what Scripture points out. And Moses said, it is not meet so to do. This is out of order. For we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. It is abominable for us to do worship God in the presence of the Egyptians. Now, Moses here, understanding he's working wisely with a politician. This politician is just here's an option. Can we do this compromise? No, I can't do that. And he's being kind to Pharaoh. His kindness is going to be amazing here in a minute. We'll see in just a minute. Moses' kindness to Pharaoh. But he does not compromise. He does not give up God's truth to get along with the world. All right? So, it's an abomination to the Egyptians that we would serve the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes? And will they not stone us? There would be animosity that would ultimately be between us and the Egyptians if we did your compromise, Pharaoh. You've got to know, when you compromise with the world, it doesn't help a thing. The battle is still there. You've just given in and shown your God to be weak. All right? Now, we will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. Here's the bottom line. Nothing's changing, Pharaoh, because God is in control. God governs in the affairs of men. I cannot compromise my God for who you are, what you want. O believer, may you submit to the authority of God. You don't influence the world by dimming the light. Did you catch that? We could have compromised, all right? Okay, we'll stay in Egypt. We'll have this little Jewish festival, and we'll lose the testimony of God. We'll not be redeemed. We'll still be your slaves. But hey, we got to have our holiday. You fool. You self-centered fool. You've just dimmed your light. It has no influence on the world. If that had happened, story was done. Now, how often do we ruin God's testimony because we compromise with the world? What did John say about the believer? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Yet he goes on in verse 70. That's 1 John 2:15, if you don't know that reference. He goes on just a couple verses later. He that doeth the will of God, the will of the sovereign, governing God, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. It seems in the moment, it's like, you know, if this keeps on, kill us all. It seems so reasonable to compromise. No, but don't. Follow God, and you will live forever. This world comes to an end, and all that follow Satan and his crowd. It will be ruined one day. It's hard for us to see because we feel it, touch it, know it. The world, its people are in our face. They're begging for us to give up our truth. Don't compromise. Your sovereign God is still in control. He wants you to follow him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. May you be the light in this very, very dark world. Don't dim your light. Verse 28. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Entreat for me. Now, Moses has already said, I'm not compromising. So Pharaoh, being the politician, by the way, parents, don't get caught up in politics with your kids. You're the biblical authority in your home. Now be like God, be careful, be wise, be loving. But we don't come up with compromise. And then, you know, so you it's with your teenager. Well, Dad, could I do this? No, that's not the rules. Oh, well, how about it this way? And they give you just a little bit more. Oh, okay. You know, these kids these days, they pressure you all the time. Stop it! Don't compromise it. If you have truth on your side, stay faithful to it. That's what Moses did. He didn't even talk about this second compromise. No, we're not going to go into the wilderness, but what did he do? You see, really at the end of verse 28, we have what really Pharaoh wanted. He wanted the flies out of there. Would you please pray for me? So Moses does not even address this second offer of compromise. He's already given him the answer. No, that's not going to happen. We will, verse 27, go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and serve God as he directs us then. He was asking for release from being a slave. Pharaoh knew that, Moses knew that, God knew that, and Pharaoh was God's servant. He was going to follow. Pharaoh offers a second compromise because really at the end of the day, he's sick and tired of the flyers. Now, what would you and I do in that situation? All of a sudden, it's like you've got the upper hand. Pharaoh just said, I need your help. What can I do to him? He's been mean to me. And that's not how Moses responded. Moses responded like his great God. Yes, God is sovereign, but that does not outrule or overrule. It works in perfect harmony, in perfect orchestration with his grace and love. And so what does Moses do? Verse 29, and Moses said, behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people to go sacrifice to the Lord. So he mercifully says, okay, I'll pray for you. And it's going to happen tomorrow. You'll know it's God's hand tomorrow. The flies are going to be all gone. But let me warn you. Let the mercy of God, Pharaoh, lead you to repentance, not to rebellion. You see, God is merciful, even at times to a known liar. Pharaoh had already promised, I'll let you go with the frogs. No, he didn't. We're going to discover over and over again as we go through the rest of these parables. Pharaoh's a liar, like his father, the devil. There's no truth in him. And yet, God is kind and merciful to this one, giving him opportunity again and again to turn from his sin and submit to a great God. Remember what Paul said? The goodness of God leads thee to not compromise, to repentance, to change. You see, we discover here something about God that it's a unique way to discover. Pharaoh deserved punishment here. Moses had stood strong. He was going to stay faithful to the truth and do what's right. Now Pharaoh is asking for help. He does not deserve help. He deserved God's judgment, and yet God would restrain, would withhold that judgment, be merciful to give Pharaoh another opportunity to come to him. Isn't that something? So he'll gratefully take away the plague, but the warning is still there. Don't turn around, Pharaoh. You've, in a sense, his character is starting to crack. He's already offered two compromises. Now, that's not where we want to go. We want freedom. But it demonstrated that Pharaoh was starting to be concerned about this great God that he was knowing. Okay, how can I placate and still have my way? It doesn't work that way. All right, no, you submit totally to God. And then God cherishes you and follows, helps you. So, don't let Pharaoh be deceitful. Verse 30. So, by the way, point number four, if you haven't caught it, God is merciful. So we see God's word is sure. God governs in the affairs of man. Don't compromise with the world. That's not God's desire. Point number four, God is merciful. He always is. He always will be. It's in perfect harmony with his governing. So verse 30, and Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And he removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. There remained not one. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time. Neither would he let the people go. May that never be the testimony of anyone here today, that God shows you mercy and you harden your heart. Do you realize that any time an unbeliever is presented with the truth of the gospel and they harden their heart, they're saying no to a merciful God? Now, believer, you've accepted his wonderful salvation, enjoyed his mercy. Should you ever say no to God? Yet we live in our sin, don't we? May God help us to not be like Pharaoh and harden our hearts to his mercy and grace to us. In the truth of this parable, it seems as though the point is this. Believer, stay faithful to your God, who is so good to you. Don't compromise with the world. Who do you live for? Why do you do what you do? Is it because you're following your sovereign God in everything in your life? Or is it because you want to get along with the world? May God help us today. The world is always offering compromise. They want you to tone down your truth. Don't do it. Don't do it. Stay faithful to your God. Don't compromise, believer. Let's pray. Lord, some what I think are very practical truths for us. Help us now to rightly apply them. There are so many ways as a believer that the world screams at us for compromise. What we do, what we say, what we wear, what we think, what we listen to, where we go, how we enjoy fun with them. Oh, there's so many areas where we are easily drawn into the world. Lord, may we stand for truth and live your truth faithfully and rightly in our life. You govern in the affairs of men. Yet you are merciful, and I'm grateful for that. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, to love you and to know that your word is sure, and therefore we need to obey and trust it. Lord, if there's one here today like Pharaoh who continues to reject your offer of mercy, may today be the day where they submit and say yes and accept your free gift of salvation for them, enjoying the redemption of their soul. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Believer, if the world offered you a compromise, would you take it? Maybe I should put it this way. The world is offering you compromise in so many ways. Are you taking it? Maybe today the God has convicted your heart and you'd say, Pastor, I need to be like Moses and say no. I live every area of my life under complete authority of God. I will go worship my God, period. Maybe today you'd say, Pastor, the word of God's brought some conviction and challenge in my heart. Would you pray that God would help me to be faithful? Yes, I see that hand. Yes, amen. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, God's offering you mercy. You don't have to face his wrath for eternity. come to trust his son, Jesus Christ. Turn from your sin. Trust him alone. Maybe today you'd say, Pastor, that's my need. One quietly raise your hand and say, Pastor, please pray for me. I need to be saved today. I want his mercy. I don't want God's wrath. Anyone at all? Lord, take your word and do its good work in our heart and life. I pray that your word by your spirit would have deep effect in all of our lives. Thank you that your word is sure. Thank you that you govern the affairs of man. Thank you that you're merciful. May we follow you completely as believers. If there's one here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, draw them to thyself.